The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell, and it always gives me great pleasure to welcome my next guest into the WVXU studios, well-known author and illustrator of children's books, and I'm a big fan of all his works. Will Hillenbrand is here in the studio to talk about his latest effort, which is All for a Dime, a Bear and Mole story, one of the series, and he has some other projects in mind as well that we'll talk about, and of course, Will will be at Books by the Banks, the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, Saturday, October 17th. It goes on 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Duke Energy Convention Center, and he will have some tips for you if you're going to go to Books by the Banks. Will, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, let's begin with Bear and Mole. These characters have popped up more than once in your work. Where did Bear and Mole originate?
Bear and Mole originated with being awakened by my son, who had been reading books and was pretending to be a mole. This is when he was probably three or four years old. And my wife had left to go to school to teach. I, at that time, would work late at night. This particular morning, he was up as usual, but I was sleeping in, and he wanted me to be up. And I was sleeping soundly, and he tried to tickle my nose with a feather or pull my ear. Eventually, he went to the bottom of the bed and pulled the sheets loose and tunneled underneath the covers, pretending to be a mole. He found my big toe, and he tweaked it. That's called a mole alarm clock. It doesn't have a snooze button. Now, the story has another chapter. We had breakfast. We went to his a favorite playground. On the way home, he was getting a little sleepy, and he wanted me to tell him a story, a request. And I said, well, we'll put one on the cassette player. And he said, no. I mean, he insisted he wanted a new story. So I completely went blank. And so I start looking around the world, as I would have probably in second grade, and he said, write a story. And I start looking out the window, and I see a stop sign. Is there a story behind that? A cloud? Is there a story behind that? No. I said, you know, I can't think of any. And he crossed his arms and was a little pouty, and it broke my heart. And I thought, I better fix this. So I said, I can't think of any, but I do know one about a little mole, because he'd been pretending to be a mole. And his whole countenance changed. And I thought, well, I've got a hook. I've got a character. And then I said to him, I said, well, I know one about a mole. And then, of course, he brightened. And I said, and his best friend. And I left it blank. And he said, a bear. And so he filled in the blank. And so I've got two characters, Mark, but I don't have a story. So so then I just went back to the morning experience, and I just retold what he did to wake me up. That became the book, Spring Is Here, because when I got home, he was asleep. I mean, he must have liked the story, right, because he fell asleep.
Yes, indeed.
So I put my audience to sleep. It's a good story. And then I went to my journal, and I drew the Bear and Mole so I wouldn't forget, and I did a quick little storyboard of what the story was. I kept it there. And it incubated for a while before I had it ready to show to an editor. I didn't ever intend it to be that. It was just, I wanted to record what we did.
Well, I was going to ask you, as I was prepping for this interview, I was considering your, you know, vast trove of work, more than 60 books that you've illustrated or written and illustrated, and I was wondering where all these ideas come from, Willoughby. I mean, are you looking for real life for that inspiration, or, you know, your son Ian, you know, prompting you?
That is part of what it comes from, because it comes from, you know, authors talk about this, you write what you know. Now, what I do is that experience happened, and what I do is I pitch it into another reality. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a retelling of the first story that I told you, but then it'll be more, you know, wrapped around with characters and fulfilled. Their house is not going to be my house. I don't tell stories that way. They're my reference, my springboard for being able to go into a deeper, richer story land.
Speaking with Will Hillenbrand, the author and illustrator of many children's books, his latest, All for a Dime, a Bear and Mole Story, is available where books are sold. You can learn more about Will's work at our website. And I mentioned the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, Books by the Banks, and I know you've been a regular fixture there. And what are your experiences at book festivals like this and getting to meet your young readers and their parents?
Oh, meeting readers is always the best. And when young children come, to be able to make a connection with them is priceless. I mean, it's just a love thing. With other authors being there before the festival, It's an opportunity to be able to get to know them better or see them kind of only at these festivals. Although I'm used to be neighbors with Louise Borden and in Terrace Park. Now she's not living there anymore. Oftentimes we'd see each other at conferences or things like this more than we would even around the neighborhood. So it's always a chance to be able to become acquainted. And of course, being connected with people who we share a love of books. And we don't it's just not about books. It's about the pleasure we have received from books. And also the celebration of the new, because we have an appetite for the new. New books, new works, and we want to celebrate that. So this all comes together as it's a love festival of our interests.
Any suggestions for parents bringing children to a book festival? You know, it's a very busy place. There's a lot of action going on. I know many book festivals have a kids area that will, provide right. some distractions for the kids, but a lot of these young readers enjoy meeting the people who create the characters that they love, like Bear and Mole. And any suggestions for the parents bringing their kids?
Well, at any time when you're doing that, if you get a chance. Look, Mark, when I was a kid, I thought books were made by machines. They were so beautifully rendered. I couldn't really? Even really. I mean, of course, the way that a child draws, being able to look at the way a book might have, make way for ducklings was created. It's so beyond your rudimentary skill level to imagine that someone has actually drawn that. It's a big leap. And for a child to be able to say, who is this person or what happens, I'm not actually, drawing a book for them. But what I do as far as being able, what I do is different from what a parent would do. So I'll get to what I do. But what a parent can do is that they can pre-read books. They can talk about the experience of going to a book festival, which is a celebration. There are lines. Waiting in line and being patient can be a hard thing. Obviously, if a parent brings things that a child can be entertained with while they're waiting, they will have a better experience. Mm-hmm. But that can go for more than book festivals. It's just kind of things in general. Maybe parents bring a lot of things anyway because you've got all these bags when you've got children. Maybe when they're very young, you've got diaper bags and all the rest. But having things that can allow that, because time works differently for children. A time for a child waiting 5 minutes for us would be like waiting 15 minutes for them. Mm-hmm. And if they're waiting 5 minutes, and so if they get intolerant, it's because of that. That also has an upside, because if you just have 5 minutes to read to a child before they go to bed, reading to them is in reverse a positive thing, because reading a book that takes 5 or 6 minutes is like reading a book that would take 15 or 20 minutes for us. And so time kind of expands in a reverse way. But while they're waiting, it can seem like a long time. Anything they can do, whether they get there early, if they know their child's impatient, or that they can get another parent to wait in line and then catch up when the signing time comes, that can be a good thing too. Now, on my side, what I do is I draw pictures in the books along with my signature. And that's done because, number one, I can do that. I enjoy doing that. That's almost my signature in a way. Mm-hmm. But it also is important because for a very young child, they can't read the signature, or maybe even the words I'm writing, they can read the picture.
Right.
And and eventually they'll get the other two, but it's a way that it steps them right into being empowered.
And it shows them a machine didn't create the book.
That's
too.
Right.
It makes
Absolutely.
That connection between, oh, wow, this guy actually drew my friend Bear.
Absolutely. And it makes it much more personal. And so that when they're in school, And after they've read the stories and things, and they're asked to be able to write or illustrate their own stories, they have that kind of connection of being able to say another person. They know someone else who's done that. And that always makes it personal, and it makes an impact. And they will be asked to do that when they're in school. The better they're prepared to do it with better experiences, the more successful they will be.
Speaking with Will Hillenbrand, the children's author and illustrator. His latest book is All for a Dime, a Bear and Mole story. And I know from looking at your website that you have a couple more projects that are about to come out. Talk about what young readers can look forward to, and parents too, can right. look forward to in the not-so-distant future, Will.
Well, upcoming in December, I'll have a new release of a book that is called Bear and Bunny. And Bear and Bunny is written by a well-known author, Daniel Pinkwater.
Oh, yes.
And it is a gem. I mean, he's written a beautiful story that is not sarcastic. It's goes straight to the heart of the young child without any pretense. And it's a lovely story. In this case, Bear and Bunny get a pet.
Ah.
And you might wonder what kind of a pet a Bear and Bunny might want to have.
Yes,
You probably won't be able to guess. But if you do, that's fine. They figure it out. And it's just lovely.
And then the other project coming out in the spring?
Well, me and Annie McPhee will be coming out at the end of May. And I've just finished it. And it's a cumulative story that is written by Olivier Dunray, who's also very well known, and has written a verse that will absolutely be sung and read over and over and over again with joy. And the characters will just lead you. You're introduced to two dogs that think they're frogs, and hens with pens, and bears, and snails that do a little bit of sliding. It just goes on and on to great calamity, but is solved in the end.
Well, I frequently do express my love for alliteration, so I can't wait for that one for sure.
If we can go back a moment on All for a Dime, that kind of story idea came from, as of course, what's happening in that story is that there's the first opportunity to be able to sell something, like the lemonade stand of our childhood or whatever that equivalent was. Mm-hmm. When I was a young child with my brother, we didn't have a lemonade stand, but we had fabric markers my mother had purchased at the fabric store, and we drew T-shirts for neighborhood kids. And at that time, he drew better, and he drew the Disney characters. I made my own. He did most of the T-shirts for the neighborhood. I think I just did my own. That was about it. No one was really interested. I mean, I was creating my own characters, but we had fun. And that's really what it's about, those first opportunities and being able, and of course, I think it's more than that, but it's being able to figure things out. So now, of course, in this particular story, we've got a bear mole and a new character, a little girl, a skunk, and they have their own things to sell with some success and some dramatic failures as well.
Yes. And I won't give it away. I read it. I know what the ending is, but I'm not going to give it away. Well, you were just talking before we went on. I really admire your work with children and introducing them to the joy of reading. And you were saying that you've been working with some very special kids recently, right? Something that you didn't expect.
That's right. This last spring in Pittsburgh for the School for the Blind, I did a reading for the young children. When you create a picture book, your audience is invited to be able to be involved with the juxtaposition of the words and the pictures. In this case, when the pictures are absent for the audience, you have to be able to do a descriptive reading. That's what I call it. I'm not sure if that's a technical word or not, mm-hmm. but you have to be able to decide how to be able to tell the pictures so that they can see what's going on with the dialogue. I'm not perfect at that yet, but I can tell you that when I did the reading, and I had help with the Association for the Blind here in Cincinnati in preparing for that the young children, we sat together on a mat, and in the course of the reading, they all got closer.
Really?
And closer.
Whoa.
And I would like to be able to, I think, Mark, I mean, I don't take so much credit for that, as I think that's the power of a story, a good story well told. A parent can do that. I mean, a parent can notice when you're doing a reading and, you know, things are getting tighter as far as the embrace or the moving, the holding of a child. It's a natural thing that happens with it. And for these children, even though they don't see the way we do, they do see. In fact, when I talked about the mole in that story wearing a yellow hat, the remark would be, I love the color yellow. I've never seen it, but I love the sound of it. It's like, well, so, you know, if we had lost our sight or if we had lost another ability, it doesn't mean that we would want less of that. In fact, for me, if I would hope that would never happen, but I think I would want that as much and more. And of course, later on in stories, authors paint pictures with words. And so we get that with Moby Dick, or we get that with Peter Pan. And it allows us to be able to complete that. The children were completing what I was talking to them as far as making the pictures. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Indeed, it was beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you, Will. As always, the time flies by when you're sitting in the studio with me. So yeah. I appreciate it.
So we have to do it again.
Yeah, we will, and we will. I know. We'll got Bear and Bunny coming up in
all
just a bit,
sounds
right?
Good.
Will Hillenbrand, children's author and illustrator. His latest book is All for a Dime, A Bear and Mole Story, and other books coming out at the end of the year and in the spring. You can learn more about Will and his work at wvxu.org. And you can meet Will and perhaps get your Bear and Mole book signed at the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, Books by the Banks, coming up Saturday, October 17th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Duke Energy Convention Center. You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director for the show is Rick Andres. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Assistant producer is Catherine Cunningham. Web guru is Jim Nolan. And I'm Mark Purcell. You learned about beer this morning. It's bourbon next time on the Book Club at 91.7. Fred Minnick will tell you about Bourbon Curious, a simple tasting guide for the savvy drinker. Michelle Gable talks about the success of her best-selling novel, The Paris Apartment, now out in paperback. And you'll hear about Mess, one man's struggle to clean up his house and his act, from the man himself, Barry Yorgrow. Those books and more on the Book Club at 91.7 next Saturday morning. I hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, stay tuned for Weekend Edition, next on 91.7 WVXU. Have a fun Saturday.